Continuing the story of the downfall of Sovari Muni in the ninth canto, sixth chapter, and the text today, text 49, word by word and translation, he, Sovari Muni, Karachit, one day, Upasana, sitting down, Atma Apanavam, degrading oneself from the platform of tapasya, Atmanaha, self-caused, Dadashaha, observed, Bahurasha Acharya, Sovari Muni, who was expert in chanting mantras, Minasanga, the sexual affairs of fish, Samuttitam, caused by this incident. Sakarsirupasina Atma Panavamatmanaha Dadasa Bhavi Tatayo Mina Sangha Samutitam. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, one day, while Sovari Muni, who was expert in chanting mantras, was sitting in a secluded place, he thought to himself about the cause of his fall down, which was simply that he had associated himself with the sexual affairs of the fish. Purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Sovari Muni had fallen from his austerity because of a Vaishnava parad. The history is that when Garuda wanted to eat fish, Sovari Muni unnecessarily gave the fish shelter under his care. Because Garuda's plans for eating were disappointed, Sovari Muni certainly committed a great offense to a Vaishnav. Because of this Vaishnav aparad, an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, Sovari Muni fell down from his exalted position of mystic tapasya. One should not, therefore, impede the activities of a Vaishnava. This is the lesson we must learn from this incident concerning Sovari Muni. Please repeat. Thereafter, one day, while Sovari Muni, who was expert in chanting mantras, was sitting in a secluded place, he thought to himself about the cause of his fall down. It was simply that he had associated himself with the sexual affairs of the fish. Om Gyantimirandasya Janana Sakalaya Chakshum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Desatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvayivyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I was told that I was supposed to read one verse from the Dhammasarastakam, but I wasn't told the verse. Seven? Huh? Is there anything seven? Okay. Oh Lord Damodar, just as the two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, were delivered from the curse of Narada and made into great devotees by you in your form as a baby tied with rope to a wooden grinding mortar. In the same way, please give me your own prema bhakti. I only long for this and have no desire for any kind of liberation. Divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Well, I've only been here a couple of days, and I've been hearing these wonderful classes. And the wonderfulness of the classes were the wonderful pastimes being narrated by my wonderful godbrothers. Some people can speak very deeply on the Bhagavatam. I'm sitting in front of many of them. And that is not my forte. I have a brain like a sieve. Whatever goes in the sieve just comes out. It goes in one ear and going out the other. But somehow or other, I can remember the wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And it seems fitting, at least during this time of Kartik, here in this most wonderful courtyard of Krishna Balaram Temple, under this wonderful tree, the Tamal tree, that we remember Srila Prabhupada. Because many of us, we are, to quote Srila Prabhupada, we're being called by Yamaraj. He wrote in one letter to a friend in India after he had arrived in America. So he had written a few letters. And then he said, at any time, Yamaraj may come calling for me. So that is our situation right now. So it seems befitting that we share whatever memories we have experienced and hold dear to us in hopes that all of you can also catch a little flavor of Srila Prabhupada's wonderful personality. Srila Prabhupada, the acharya, the author, the great statesperson. But Srila Prabhupada, the most wonderful personality. we can try to share some of that with you. So in the year of 1972, a group of us that seemed very large at the time, maybe about 50 of us, seemed quite large at the time, gathered together at Radhadamodar Temple to sit out in the courtyard of the Samadhi courtyard with Srila Prabhupada in the evening to hear him speak on the glories of nectar of devotion. Most of us, the greater number of the disciples, were staying at Keshigat. And it was quite an austere situation. Bare rooms, bare floors, a little spigot coming out of a wall somewhere to catch water in a plastic bucket to take a freezing cold bath. Some of the more austere devotees actually went down the steps in the morning in the dark to bathe in the Yamuna. You were one of them, Narayani being one of them. But I can't swim, and I had my small child with me, so I wasn't one of those brave devotees. My service, because when we come to Vrindavan, when we come to any holy spot, and especially during Kartik, we should have some service, even if it's just picking up the little trash that's left behind here or there. We should have some service. So my service was cooking for the devotees in Keshigat. And I was assisted by His Holiness Suchitananda Swami. And thank God for that assistance. And then in the evening, sitting together in the Samadhi courtyard, hearing Srila Prabhupada, it was as if we were directly in contact with the Goswamis themselves. In the same courtyard where Srila Prabhupada sat in his kitchen and looked out through the window at the samadhis. That same courtyard where in the dead of the morning, 12:30 or 1:30, Srila Prabhupada went out in the courtyard all alone with a jaru, a broom made of sticks tied together. And he went out in that courtyard unbeknownst to anyone, and he was sweeping the courtyard. In those days, the courtyard was the dust, the brudge, the pure, beautiful dust of Vrindavan. Marble had not been introduced yet. And we took great joy in rolling in that dust, getting covered with that dust. So Prabhupada went out there at night. He swept the Samadhi courtyard. And he was calling out loudly, "Hey Gurudev, hey Rup, hey Sanatan, give me your mercy. Please give me your mercy." It's not so unusual for people to come up to us. Right before I sat here today, somebody came up to me. MOD, Mercy on Demand. Srila Prabhupada was not demanding mercy. He was begging for mercy. And he was showing his desire for mercy by performing seva, by sweeping that courtyard. And he wasn't doing it show bottle so people would see me what I'm doing. It was in the night, it was in the dark. No one was there. So how do we know this? Because one little old pujari from the neighboring temple would hear some sound coming from the courtyard at night, from the Radha Damodar Samadhi courtyard. And he was very tired after his daily duties. So he would fall asleep and he'd wake up and he would hear this sound. And finally, one night he thought, who could be out there? Who could be there? And he climbed up to his roof and he looked over and he saw our Srila Prabhupada sweeping the courtyard alone and calling, hey Gurudev, hey Rup, hey Sanatan, please give me your mercy, and demonstrating his desire for that mercy by sweeping that courtyard. And now we were sitting, we didn't know this, actually that only became known after Mulaka Priti Devadasi wrote the little book, Srila Prabhupada, Our Friend, with the memories of those who had known Srila Prabhupada prior to his coming to America. So this was something. We weren't told this by Srila Prabhupada. We only found out much later. But it's a very good lesson. It's a very good lesson to keep in mind that if we want something very, very deeply, we have to offer some seva. We have to offer some service. The best is to offer service to the devotees, to the devotees of the Lord. Because the devotees of the Lord can give you their mercy. And if we're fortunate, through their mercy, we can catch a wisp of the tulsi, the aroma of the tulsi that's on the lotus feet of the Lord. In this way, hopefully make some hopefully make some spiritual advancement. Srila Prabhupada, he explained to us that Radha Damodar was the hub of the spiritual universe. You know what is a hub? The center of a wheel, and then all the spokes go out. So we could understand how Srila Prabhupada had expanded the hub, bringing the message of Mahaprabhu to the west, increasing the hub. I sat there personally, totally bewildered, trying to understand what he was saying and what it meant for a person like me. Yeah. We were there to hear, but I can't say that I could properly hear anything. Now in my old age, I can't hear either. The ears are deaf. But in my younger age, it was another kind of not hearing. So Sobari Moody was contemplating the cause of his fall down. He was performing such an austerity, sitting in the river. And with his eyes, he gazed upon some fish having some sexual activity, and it buzzed his mind, it agitated his senses. How careful we must be, what we see, what we hear, what we speak. Just like Ajamil, innocently going into the forest to collect some herbs for his puja, a young man. He wasn't thinking anything other than to get some herbs to perform his puja. Then he came upon an indecent scene between two persons, male, female, having an illicit relationship in the forest. And suddenly he became agitated. Wasn't looking for it. How careful we have to be with what we see, with what we hear, with what we speak. Srila Prabhupada explained that the life of a Vaishnava begins with surrender, not with a challenge. Explaining in Bhagavad Gita, submissively inquire, serve. So I was on a morning walk in 75. Life of the Vaishnava begins with surrender. And he said, this Vaishnava philosophy is very accurate. So we may not understand it. So therefore, inquire submissively. It's very interesting to me nowadays to see how there are many challenges as opposed to submissive inquiries, even towards Srila Prabhupada. So it's incumbent on us, his disciples, his followers, to make sure that we're strongly fixed up, so that we can help him carry on this movement, because that is a standing order for all of us at all times. 1967, July, he was leaving San Francisco to come back home to Vrindavan to recover from his illness. We were sitting in our little temple in San Francisco. Two days previously had been Rath Yatra Festival. He was over across the Golden Gate Bridge in a little cottage on Simpson Beach, unwell. He couldn't even attend the first Rath Yatra Festival. In fact, the next day we brought the deities to him for darshan. But he wasn't getting better, so he made a decision to return to India to recuperate. Actually, I understand, according to Ayurvedic medicine, I'm no authority on Ayurvedic, but I've been told this, that it says that the best place for recovery is in your own place. It makes sense. You're familiar with the climate, the sounds, the aromas, the food, the people. You know, there's less pressure on you. You're comfortable in your own surrounding. So he made that decision, and he informed us that he was going to be going. And so what he said was, I'm an old man. I may die at any time. So I want you, boys and girls, to push on this movement. I mean, for some of us, it was the first indication that we were actually in a movement. Because up until then, for many of us, for most of us really, we were just this little group. A little group in New York, a little group in San Francisco, a little group in Boston, just a little group of devotees with their spiritual master, with Swamiji. He was thinking broadly, out of great concern and compassion for the fallen condition of the world, but we were just happy to be with him. And suddenly he was giving us that nudge, push on this movement. I'm an old man, I may die at any time. We certainly heard that mantra every single lecture. Birth, death, disease, old age. Birth, death, disease, old age. We heard that mantra. But it meant very little to us at that time. It was some words for a future that we didn't really connect with yet. We didn't even think of him as an old man, although, yes, he was over 70 years old. When he was present, it seemed like we could do anything. We could go out and fearlessly preach, even if we didn't know much, which we didn't. But he was there. So it gave us courage, it gave us impetus. I was initiated on the 17th of January in 67 in San Francisco. There were four of us, myself, Shyam Sunder, Hari Das, and Harsharani. And after that initiation, he told us, now you go out and preach. We were still looking at a piece of paper with the mantra on it to get the words in the right order. I raised my hand, like, how do we do this? How do we go out and preach? And he just looked at me and he said, you listen to what I tell you, and then you repeat. You don't add, you don't subtract anything. Standing order. That order hasn't really changed. But when he told us to push on this movement, and he wasn't going to be there, like, if he was there means he was there in America. He would either be in San Francisco or New York. If we had a question, if we didn't understand something, we could call, we could write a letter, and an answer would come right away. But now we're thinking, he won't be here. How can we push on this movement? We don't actually know so much. And so the question was put forth, the famous question, can we ask, Swamiji, can we ask one of your godbrothers to come and help us in your absence? The question was not at all intended to find a replacement for Srila Prabhupada. The question was intended to help us follow his order to push on the movement. But his answer was very clear. As he always did, he was sitting very straight. There was no fancy Vyasa sign, just like you see this little platform here. That was what we had, with a cushion on it, and a little lectern to hold the book. So he's sitting there, very straight, very quiet, suddenly very quiet. And it was like one of those moments that seemed like 12 years or more. And we literally were holding our breath. We just stopped breathing. I remember looking so intently at his face, at his features, at his nostrils, at his eyes, at his ears, at his lips. Everything was so silent. And then he spoke. And he said, my spiritual master was not an ordinary man. He saved me. If even one person were to come and change even one word of what I have taught you, the whole thing will be spoiled. Everything I have to teach you are in these books. What books? The first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam in three parts. Everything I have to teach you is there. So at that moment, we were empowered by Srila Prabhupada to push on this movement. And it was only a matter of following his instructions, of sticking together, following his instructions together. When we went to England, just three adults and a baby, with a grand dream, okay, meet the Beatles and get them to chant, and the whole world will chant. You know, what was the likelihood? But because we stuck together, we didn't separate, we didn't get discouraged. Yes, sometimes we were a little discouraged. Obviously, we're there and it was so hard and it was so difficult. We didn't even live together. We were scattered all over town. But we stuck together. We stuck to the plan. We were there to help Srila Prabhupada push on his movement. One godbrother, around 1998, he came to a meeting in North America, and he was pushing the concept of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, trying to rally the forces. And later on, that was the same year I became a member of the GBC. So that same godbrother, later that year he came to the GBC. So he was telling us that the rising tide lifts all ships. You know, when the tide goes out, the ships that are there, some of them, they get stuck in the sand. When the tide comes back in, again, they lift up. So it seems to me that the standing order has not changed. That Srila Prabhupada still wants us, all of us, boys and girls, old men, old women now, some of us, young men, young women, some of you. He still wants us to get together and push on this movement. He wants us to be part of the rising tide that will lift ISKCON, the ship of ISKCON, and keep it strong, keep it together, keep it afloat. That's our business, to assist him and serve him in that way. Not to abandon the ship just because the water gets a little rough, just because maybe we get a little insulted by one of our God brothers or God sisters or our mind. I was reading something last night. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Anyway, he was saying that there are so many challenges, so many attacks may come. It's not our business to give up, to get discouraged, to leave a devotional service. It's our business to stick together, to remain together, and help push on this movement. We're here in the Radhadham, in the Krishna Balaram courtyard, because devotees stuck together to push on this movement, because devotees are still sticking together to push on this movement. Through thick and through thin. Nothing has changed. The order is still there. And in doing this, we have to appreciate one another, appreciate the service that is being done by one another. Maybe there's some fault, maybe not. It doesn't matter. Srila Prabhupada appreciated whatever did our little service was offered. And he never forgot those devotees for whatever big or little thing they did. I remember one time in Calcutta, the devotee who was in charge of the go-down for the books suddenly went AOL. And he took the keys to the go-down. Nobody knew where he was. Nobody could get the books. And you know how important the books are to Srila Prabhupada. And they couldn't get to the books to distribute them. So the book distributors were quite upset. And they came to Srila Prabhupada with their complaint. Prabhupada said, "Yes, I know. But what can I do? He helped me." This person had helped Srila Prabhupada way back in 66. And every year onward. What can I do? He helped me. The Prabhupada can have such magnanimity of heart. We can try just a little bit to appreciate each other and be part of the rising tide. Hare Krishna.
Names were omitted to protect the innocent.
Huh?
I said names were omitted to protect the innocent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When we try to respect or appreciate other services, we're talking about Prabhupada giving the order that we should work hard, spread out the movement. So naturally, I was saying to our devotees, when we see other devotees doing better or more accomplished, we get a little envious. But another senior devotee said, just appreciate how much Prabhupada has given them mercy, or so that you start feeling a little bit ashamed and how, why am I getting envious of his accomplishments? So when we see that someone speaks badly about us or this or that, get too caught up in the whole idea of, you know, I'm better, and I don't appreciate other services. What sort of mentality would you suggest we should try to understand about appreciating other devotees' services without being envious?
Well, there's two ways to look at this envy. It's a little transcendental because it's based on the person doing a very nice service. So you're feeling a little envy. So in one way, it's transcendental. On the other hand, if your envy causes you to think poorly of that person, then it's not so transcendental. Therefore, we have to check ourselves. We have to check our mind. You know. Actually, Prabhupada says, go on with your work and other instructions will follow. Simply become more concerned with increasing the spiritual contact of our lives. And in this way, all other problems like management or envious minds will be resolved. Not that they can be resolved in some other manner. Like nowadays, there's a lot of... It's like people go to these different self-help workshops thinking that maybe if they can learn something else, then maybe whatever's impeding their spiritual progress can be removed, and then they can make some spiritual progress. According to Srila Prabhupada, that's not the process. He said that, I just read this last night, a reminder, that if you're not finding some taste, You're finding yourself critical, you're finding yourself envious, whatever. Increase your chanting. Instead of 16 rounds, 64 rounds. So that's Prabhupada's advice on the matter. Maybe some of the exalted souls who are sitting here can kindly speak something.
Thank you so much for this wonderful enlightenment. And my question is about...
You hear that? when we first heard that, we spent the day and night practicing, and the next morning when Prabhupada showed up, we let loose. And I remember he was just so smiling, and he goes, "Oh, you know how to do that."
My question is about Vaishnava opera. So Gauri Rishi felt that his fall down is due to the what he saw with his vision. However, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained the reason, the true reason of his fall down was because of Vaishnava opera. Yeah. He did not realize that Vaishnava opera. We saw in the previous the first time that we have heard or read about Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni, and even unless that Vaishnava forgive you, Krishna never forgives you. So if you don't realize that you have committed a Vaishnava aparad, how do you seek the forgiveness of that Vaishnava? Please help me. If you think I can understand it, please tell me. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
We should just assume that we have successfully offended each and every Vaishnav and beg their forgiveness. If we don't think that we've committed Vaishnav apara, right there is apara. And it's such a subtle thing, you know. It's not always something, as you can see here, something immediately apparent. Oh. Oh. I think 9 o'clock is the cutoff time. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.